B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Wednesday, October 9th, 2019. Your home for esports and gaming. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we're going to talk about esports trickling its way into the mainstream. Plus, we're going to get to know Nicola Pigott from the Story Mob. Those conversations ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But we start today revisiting our holiday wish list. Last year, around this time of the year, we sat down and came up with a hypothetical list of things that we would like to see out of the video game industry in 2019. Well, we dug that list out, dusted it off, and we're going to see how many of those things came true.
Spoilers. Our holiday wish list did, I don't think Santa saw it. It did not go great for us.
But or we were just all on the naughty list.
Yeah, that's more likely. So we're going to go through our list of things that we wished for last year, see how it went, and then we'll create some things for this year.
All right.
So the first thing that we wished for was a Final Fantasy XI HD remake, which while FF11 mobile is theoretically still in development, we haven't heard anything about it in a long time. I definitely don't think that we by any means got an HD remake.
We are saps. We didn't get it, but we did not get it either. No one has explicitly come out
and said it's never
to
happening.
Deny the existence of an FF11 remake ever happening.
No, that doesn't count until it is in the hands of players. Aww. It is not counting.
All right, well, we didn't get that one. How about this one? Runaway is completely signed to the Vancouver Overwatch League team, and they win it all.
How does it feel to fall just so close? It's Naruto Sasuke, man. It's the pain of never seeing it or the pain I be. It's so close to losing it all.
Norris, you truly are Icarus. You got so close to the sun, but
yeah,
still.
I know.
You fell.
I know.
All right. How about this one? Gaguri leads the Shanghai Dragons to at least contend this year. This kind of came true.
I would say that this is half true. I don't know how much Gaguri
directly
had to do with it.
It was mostly Gamsu.
It was Gamsu.
But the Dragons, you cannot say,
they
had a bad year.
Stage 3 championship.
Exactly.
Yeah. They did. So, yeah, that one half came true.
Half. Yeah.
All right, number four. More third-party developers embrace the Switch. I think this one actually came
true. That is 100%
true. Everyone embraced the Switch.
Yeah.
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 I think that is definitely, we can put that into the came true category because, yeah, the game library on the Switch is second to none in terms of a handheld device.
Yep.
Yeah.
And is competitive among even, you know, your PlayStations, your Xbox. In fact, for me, it is the platform of choice.
Mm-hmm.
If I have my choice, right? If it's released among all the platforms simultaneously, I will always end up going for the Switch version.
All right. Up next, we've got a prequel sequel to Legend of Dragoon. I think we can thoroughly say that did not come true.
That did not happen.
Come on.
Sony let me down this year.
They did. You were decidedly on Sony's naughty list.
But there are distant whispered rumors of an HD remake.
There's always distant rumors and whispers about a Legend of Dragoon remake or sequel or something.
The guy who did Shadow of the Colossus said that'd be neat to do.
Well,
it'd be great. It'd be neat.
You're right.
A hotel in space.
All right. Number six. Toby Fox announces he has assembled his team and Deltarune will release in 2020. That definitely didn't come true. However,
you did get...
There's been a lot of progress made on Deltarune. And actually, I don't know that 2021 is an unrealistic release, actually. So maybe. We'll see.
Yeah.
Seven is the least true of all the ones, I think.
Okay.
Number seven, Ninja makes big announcements exclusively on Checkpoint XP.
We are for that. We're idiots.
I know. But here's the thing. I mean, if you just change the word Checkpoint XP to Mixer.
To Mixer. Then we're right.
Yeah, then we're totally
Then we're actually right on that.
Then
one.
We did pretty good. Oh, that's fair.
So it's half right.
No, it's not.
Shut up. Don't ruin this. Do not ruin this for me.
I think 8 must have been Robbie's. A prequel to Final Fantasy 8 centered around their time in the orphanage.
Yep, that was me.
Which, while that did not come true, no. We did get a remaster get, of Final Fantasy VIII, which also does feature their time in the orphanage, I guess.
So it has are we saying that's a quarter true?
I'll take a quarter.
I suppose that one, is at least a quarter true. Number 9, AAA turn-based games make a strong resurgence in 2019. That one's Nate's, I assume.
Yeah, no.
And I cannot imagine that one came true.
That did not happen.
In any sense.
Although, I mean, well, it still remains to be seen with this throwback mode that the Final Fantasy remake, the 7 remake is putting in there.
Still wouldn't call it a resurgence.
I don't know. We'll see what it is.
All right, number 10. This was our final one that we created last year.
All right.
Detective Pikachu ushers in a dawn of great video game movies. This one, jury is still out. It could happen, though.
Here's the thing. Happen. I finally saw Detective Pikachu on a plane.
Yes, you finally had a flight to watch it.
It took me a while to watch it, but I finally watched it. And it actually, not only is it, it's a good movie. It is a kid's movie, granted.
For sure.
But it is a good movie. And they used the intellectual property from Pokemon perfectly there. The blueprint exists.
Yes.
It just remains to be seen now if future movies will use that as a rubric to go by.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We're currently going through our holiday wish list and, seeing what came true from last year. And now we've got to make a wish list for this year.
Yes, exactly. So I'm going to start us off with our holiday wish list for this year. You guys start thinking about some things you might want to ask Santa for this year.
All right.
We've got some major releases coming out in the spring this year. Mm. I want one of them to completely live up to the expectations that we are heaping on it. One of these games, I need it to live up to expectation. FF7 Remake or Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
One of these games, I need it to live up to expectation.
I'm actually going
to
do something similar there. With Cyberpunk, I want it to be in VR.
Ooh.
Okay.
That's a very specific.
I'll say I want FF7 to surprise us and actually include more of the game than they said it will.
Okay.
All right.
Or would you accept if they announce that the second part of it is releasing sooner than we think?
Yeah, I'll accept that.
Okay. All right.
Interesting.
For me, because there's so much going on about Fallout right now, there's talk about a new DLC for Fallout 4 that brings some of the Capital Wasteland into Fallout 4. I just want to see a new Fallout game announcement.
Ooh, okay. Wow, that's a great
response. I got one.
New Fallout game announcement.
Wait your turn. I will, but I got one.
And no, something like Fallout Shelter does not count.
No, it doesn't.
All right, so I would like to see this come true in the next year. I want to see Google Stadia take off in a big way.
That's a big ass.
Now, does it have to be Google Stadia, or can it be game streaming as a notion?
Cloud gaming.
I'll allow it to be cloud gaming. So if it's xCloud or if it's whatever Sony's and Lancer to it is.
There's going to be a competitive environment when it, all of the services are going.
That's fair.
As long as one of them works, then, the theory has been proven.
Okay. Robbie, over to you.
I would like a Switch Pro. Not just this upgraded battery power that we have now, but one that has substantially more power, better controllers, nice and sturdy. I don't care how big you start to get with it. But I want the opposite of the Switch Lite to come out.
Do you want it announced or it comes out in 2019?
I will accept announced.
Announced. So if it's announced for spring 2021, you're fine?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So it is announced in 2020. All right. Norris, what do you got?
I want a release date for Elder Scrolls 6.
Ooh!
Whoa,
that's a big ask right there. But we're getting there. I mean, it was announced two E3s ago.
Yeah, I think you might get a year.
No, I want a date. It's not a date, it doesn't count.
I'm going to piggyback yours and say I want a setting as well, but that's not going to be what the suggestion that
Okay, we'll put release date and setting.
Release date and setting.
It better be High Rock and Hammerfest.
If you get a release date, you're definitely getting a setting. Like, yeah. They won't be one without the other.
Yeah. So for me, I would like to see an actual real console war for the next console cycle.
That's a big ass.
I want it to be at least close. I want to feel like I don't know which I should choose, PlayStation 5 or whatever the hell Xbox is doing.
That's a big ask. I mean, know. They both have already seeded handhelds. That's not a part of the equation. So it's going to be between those two. But I feel if Joe's theory comes out correctly and cloud gaming takes off, that muddies all the waters in this whole console conversation.
So we've got about a minute and a half, about 90 seconds left here.
I got one. Junker Queen gets announced in Overwatch.
All right. Junker Queen gets announced in Overwatch. All right. I'm going to go ahead and say that I want Grand Theft Auto 6.
Oh, yeah.
Very good.
I'll agree with that.
Very good.
Okay. I'll agree with that. 2020 Overwatch season goes well, and we get expansion teams for the next year.
Okay. Mm. 2020 season goes well.
Final one for me. Yep. Any MMO that looks like it's worth investing in. Anything. I'll take anything, please. I'm desperate. But listen, we want to hear from you. What makes your holiday wish list? And it's not just a game, it's not just an item, but what from the video game industry do you want to see happen in 2020? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, there's an organization out there telling some of the most important stories in esports. They're called the Story Mob, and we've got a member of the Story Mob, Nicola Piggott, who's going to be joining us here on Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, we're going to check out a conversation about esports in the mainstream. Jimmy Fallon, the nightly news. Esports is starting to hit all of those places, and we're going to talk about it ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Has esports hit mainstream acceptance? Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on Fox Sports WBSM, 1340 AM in Florence, Alabama, as well as News Talk WGAC 580 and 95.1 in Augusta, Georgia. Make sure you're following us on our officially partnered Twitch channel over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. We've got a ton of emotes, including each of our beautiful faces, as well as not one, but two cat emotes. Tali and Fritz, our actual cats, are now Twitch emotes, and there's a whole lot more coming soon. There's only one place to get them. It's over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. Has esports hit mainstream acceptance? Is this show evidence enough that esports has hit the mainstream? I would say no, but we're pretty damn close. We are really close to esports being just a straight up mainstream and accepted thing in our culture.
It feels like a year ago about we did a topic on this very show asking, could it ever happen that it went mainstream?
What would it take?
Or what would it take for it to ever to happen? And in the span of a year, it kind of feels like we're starting to get there.
Yeah. It's already on network TV. I mean, we've got cable shows, late night. They're all talking about esports or video games or streaming or Twitch. It's all happening, it seems like, in this sphere.
Yeah, for sure. And less in the ways, like, Nate, you've talked about the fishbowl effect before, yeah, which for those who don't know is kind of when people don't really get it and they just kind of tap on the glass of the fishbowl and say,
what are the kids up to?
They want how much money?
And here's the thing is that the way it starts is it starts from normalization, right? That's how stuff really begins to become mainstream. It's not necessarily about widespread acceptance and everybody talking about it in the same way that we talk about the NFL.
Right.
It starts with normalization, where people aren't going, oh my God, this is amazing. You've won how much money? It's cool.
It's no longer novel.
Because Robbie and I had a conversation about it where we said, you know, it's interesting where when you look at certain shows or you look at certain things, it goes from the person who won a bajillion dollars to just person.
Absolutely.
Like, or champion.
Well, there was a headline recently, you know, for better or worse, Twitch stars are becoming like regular celebrities. And I think that that is absolutely true. Something that we saw firsthand out at TwitchCon this year. But I do want to bring up an appearance that Andy Miller did, the CEO and founder of Energy, as well as the San Francisco Shock. He was recently on Squawk Talk on CNBC. And I think that the anchor did a really nice job handling this.
Now, let's talk about the Overwatch League Grand Finals. Big win for your team. This is one area that makes me feel old because I know esports is big. I can feel it. We talk about it, but I don't feel like I'm really participating. Is it going to break through into the mainstream at some point? What's it going to take?
No doubt. It's getting there really fast. So we saw 2018, especially 2019, a big year for video games. Lots of video game costumes there knocking on your Halloween door. So I think a lot of parents realize that this is a pretty much mainstream activity at this point.
Yeah, Andy is 100% right here. It has hit the mainstream. And if you see the way that especially young people are drawn to the intellectual properties inside of the video game industry, then it almost becomes like you can't. The evidence is so strong that it is mainstream that, it's almost not even a question worth asking.
And that's true because, like, in the chat over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp, I see a lot of people saying no because when, you know, ESPN is esports on ESPN, Twitter goes nuts and a bunch of old people get really upset. But you have to understand that that is a very vocal minority. Most people, at the very least, are ambivalent or indifferent towards it to begin with.
I would also argue that it's not about acceptance by people. It's about awareness. You don't have to be okay with it. You just have to be aware that it's out there and it's something that exists now.
Well, and on top of that, we know the ebb and flow of how things work. When rap was first introduced as a quote-unquote mainstream thing by, you know, the powers that be and the old heads rallying against it, it did nothing but make it more popular.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how all of these things work. So when you see that kind of stuff, all it does is embolden the fan base and grow the fan base because they like making their parents mad.
And we do know that there is a pretty big generational gap between, you know, the generations that do consume esports and that strictly do not or have that kind of vocal problem with esports. It's Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. We're currently talking about whether or not esports has officially hit the mainstream, and especially when you have players that are making appearances on late night television, I think it's pretty hard to argue that it's not squarely in the mainstream spotlight. We had two members of the San Francisco Shock that appeared recently on Jimmy Fallon. That's, of course, Super and Sinatra. Let's take a listen to that clip.
Professional gamers, was it hard to convince your parents that this is a legit job?
Yeah, it was very hard. I waited till Christmas time, actually, because I wanted...
You thought that would make it easier?
Yeah, I wanted them to be more willing, you know, because it was a huge step. I would have to move across
the country.
You
wait for the holidays? Like, you can't kick me out of the house now, Mom.
I mean, for me, like, the big thing was I would always stay up late and, you know, I'd be screaming in the house. It's like 1 a.m., 2 a.m. My parents, they're coming in the room on school nights. Like, can you go to bed? Like, stop speaking. But basically, when I got my first esports contract, my dad had to co-sign it because I was under 18. And I explained to him, like, what esports was. The first thing he does, looks up esports. He finds a Forbes article about, you know, the growth of esports. and he reads about it, and he lets me do it.
That helped him, yeah, because he knew what Forbes was.
Right, right, like, exactly.
I don't know what eSports is, but I know what Forbes is, yeah.
Listen, I have to think...
It's very true.
This is so progressive in just a year.
Yes.
From, you know, some of the appearances that you would see, you know, maybe like PewDiePie or Jacksepticeye or, you know, some of these early YouTubers would make. The tone has shifted.
Well, and I think the biggest thing is that Super and Sinatra are there as representatives of Overwatch in the same way that a football player would be a representative of football, not of all sports, which a lot of times is what happened. You have somebody like Ninja or Pewds back in the day. They will go on and they have to be a representative of gaming or nerddom or streamers, vloggers, whatever, ad nauseum, at all of it. Now, they're at least getting to a point where, you know, producers have enough nuance to know this is one particular eSport, and it is not eSports as a whole.
And it does seem to be shifting over on the news side of things as well. You know, Slasher made another appearance on the Dana Perino show after the backlash against Blizzard and the Hong Kong protests. You know, like, and I got to think there are people out there who actually do get it now in the mainstream media. And it's not so much being out of touch. It's just, it's a slow to adapt, and it's coming, guys. I can promise
you. We saw
it. On the cusp of it.
We saw this with rap. We saw this with the internet. We saw it with social media. We saw it with the dot-com boom. We saw it with all this stuff. This is the pattern of how it works. Old people go, this is stupid. Why would anybody want to do this? And then the news reports on it. And then they say how much money people are making. Yep. And then all of a sudden, everybody does it and it's ubiquitous.
Well, listen, we want to hear from you. Do you think that eSports has hit the mainstream officially? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP, there's a group out there telling some of the most interesting and impactful stories in all of eSports, and they're called the Story Mob. We're going to get to know Nicola Piggott, a member of the Story Mob, ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
Checkpoint XP, eSports and Gaming Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, eSports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Nicola Piggott from the Story Mob joins us here in just a moment on Checkpoint XP Daily. Welcome back. I want to thank everyone listening on the Hawk 1340 in Wenatchee, Washington, as well as the Fan 97.1 in Columbus, Ohio. Check out our website over at CheckpointXP.com, and while you're there, make sure you sign up for the Checkpoint XP Nation newsletter. Get behind-the-scenes insight, photos, and access to contests and unique content. All it takes is an email address and a zip code, so sign up today at CheckpointXP.com. Joining us is Nicola Piggott. She's a member on the co-founder of Story Mob. Nicola, thank you so much for joining us here on Checkpoint.
Of course, thanks for having me.
So tell us a little bit about yourself and how the Story Mob got started.
Sure. So I have worked in communications for about a long time, about 15 years. And I was formerly with Riot Games. I headed up esports communications there for about just under 6 years. The Story Mob was put together when myself and two other co-founders, Anna Ross-Vandovitz, who was head of PR at ESL, and Kaylee Moore, who was head of PR at Bitcraft, came together. We wanted to create something that was specific to esports within the comms industry. We didn't see anything out there in the market that that had that knowledge about esports, that had that passion for it. And we thought that, you know, it would be a nice idea to be able to work across lots of different brands, teams, organizations, tournament organizers, and really to sort of, you know, help up the communication game in esports as a whole. So StoryMob was founded about a year and a half ago. And since then, we've been working with brands including Riot, Team Liquid, G2, and plenty others in the space.
Now, you guys have a very diverse background of clients, from teams to investors and everything else in between. What are some of the challenges to having such a diverse group of clients in one space?
Yeah, so our one prerequisite is that whoever you are, right, be you a team or a brand, a consumer brand or an investor, you need to be interested in making a real difference in the esports space, right? We don't take anybody looking to, you know, make a quick buck out of the space, which, you know, they can be hard to recognize, but once you do, you don't go back.
Well, that is really pertinent, though, because a lot of people do look at the kind of the booming esports industry as a quick turnaround, as a quick place to make a quick buck.
You're not wrong.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're only in it with people who are either in it for the long haul or really looking to like make a difference in the space. So yeah, we work across, like I said, we work across teams. Our work with teams is amazing. The two that I mentioned, Team Liquid and G2, are on top of the world right now across multiple different sports. But even when, you know, when things are going competitively well, it's brilliant. Even when they're not, there's so many interesting things with working with a competitive roster and working with athletes that, you know, we've admired for years. So that's brilliant. Working with brands is super interesting as well. Consumer brands that are sort of looking to dip a toe in the space or looking to, you know, capitalize on an existing foothold and need some guidance, right? Like this is a new audience for them. A lot of the time they make mistakes, not because they're being careless, but because they don't know any better. So communications mistakes happen, and we're here to see that they don't. Investors, service providers, like I said, the one thing that brings all of these guys together is that they're legitimately looking to make esports better in some way.
So sports are all about stories. Talk to us about the difference in presenting an esports story versus, one out of traditional sports, if there is actually any difference.
So I think there's a lot of common ground, right? Like the reason we cheer for traditional sports is the same reason we cheer for esports, because, you know, we believe in human stories, right? Like I grew up supporting a football club, and the reason I did that is A, because it was where I was from, and B, also because, you know, I believed in the players, I believed in their stories, I believed in comeback stories and struggles and triumphs and legacies, and all of these things exist in esports as well, and I think we've done a really good job as an industry of trying to step up to those examples set to us by traditional sports. Where I'd like to see us push a little further is I think there's areas where esports isn't just equal to traditional sports. It's better. And there's a couple of examples of that. One being the connection that these athletes have with their audience. When I look at Doublelift, I see somebody who represents me, right? Who represents my interests, my passions, represents, you know, things that I was interested in growing up. And I also see somebody who's uniquely connected to me. I can watch him stream. I can watch him practice. I can ask him questions. I can watch him like meme and troll on social media and feel like he's part of my community. Whereas when I look at, you know, I don't know, LeBron James, let's just say, like, he's great, but I don't feel that same connection with him. I think of him as sort of more of like on a pedestal, more of a sort of statue. And I think esports has this amazing possibility to really redefine the way that fans relate to their sportsmen. So one of the things that we're trying to do is encourage, you know, anybody, be it brands or teams or anybody, to tell more three-dimensional stories about these guys. So often we try and make them, you know, these sort of very 2D sports heroes, and we ignore all the things that are super interesting about them, all the quirky, relatable, you know, the kind of the weird details, which is the reason why fans at home love them. So that's definitely the foremost difference for me when it comes to storytelling.
And I love the fact that you mentioned human drama, because that is, of course, at the heart of every great esports and sports story. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We're sitting down with Nicola Piggott. She's the co-founder of the Story Mob.
So all the founders of Story Mob are women. This is incredibly important and unique, given that statistically, though, there are more female gamers than males. So can you talk about some of the challenges and the importance of a female-led organization in esports and in gaming, in the gaming space, too?
Yeah, totally. So it depends on the game you're looking at, obviously, as to your kind of your gender balance. But we just happen to be women in the space. I'm not suggesting it was by accident, but when we came together, we got a lot of attention straight away for being a female-led, female-founded company. And I have mixed feelings about that. I think it's wonderful to have a positive role model in the space for other women that are thinking about, professional opportunities in esports, the outside of pro players. But I also think that, hopefully being women isn't the most interesting thing about us. So I like that when we put out a job application, when we put out a job requirement, we get a ton of application from women who are saying, that they're really inspired by a female-led company. It's awesome. At the same time, I think that what we need generally as the esports industry grows and matures is for this not to be such an oddity, that it's not the first thing that people think about when they think about the company. As we've grown, I'm delighted to say we've also brought on some dudes, because, somebody's got to think of the dudes.
In the esports space, no one ever thinks of the guys.
No one ever thinks of the dudes.
Just think of the guys. like I said, super proud to be a professional woman in the space, like talking about it, like encouraging other women. I'm hoping that, in 10 years, this is just sort of one other thing, as opposed to all the other things that we do.
So, I've got you here for an interview. I have to ask about Sneaky. Cloud9's AD carry is just notorious for some unbelievably incredible cosplay. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on, telling Sneaky's story to the world.
So we picked Sneaky. So we put together a guide of esports storytelling, and one of the examples that we picked was Sneaky. I'm so inspired by this story. So for anyone who doesn't know, Sneaky plays for Cloud9. Mm-hmm. He's been at the top of his game for a couple of years. And one thing that he does is he does these incredible cosplays, female cosplays from League, for a few other things I think you might be branching out, but they're so intricate and so amazing. And what's cool about them is he doesn't make a big deal out of the fact that he's cosplaying, in female costume. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of what he does. And the reason he does that, I think, is because they're the most interesting, most complex costumes that he could attempt. I can't think of another sport where this, wouldn't be the biggest deal in the world. I genuinely can't. I think this guy just casually doing these fabulous cosplays is so inspiring, and it brings out a really cool side of the community too, who admire him for it, who cheer him on, and who don't necessarily, although obviously there's a subset that, that troll him about it, but who don't necessarily make it about, about gender, or tease him for it, or think that it says something about his sexuality or any of those things. I this is the reason I love the esports space and I love the esports community, is because this is just the kind of thing that happens, without it having to be this massively emphasized, massively politicized, kind of statement. And also, I just really love, cosplay. I think the cosplays that he put together are incredible. They're so good. I've been seeing cosplay almost every day for 6 years, and he's up there, man. Like, it's amazing. So props to him.
And genuinely, if this is a player in the NFL, that is headline one.
Can you imagine?
It'd be a madhouse. house. But here you have, when most people hear the name Sneaky in the esports space, they go, oh yeah, Cloud9's AD carry. He's really good.
Yeah.
It's not even like, yeah. And if you know the cosplay scene, you go, oh yeah, the one who does all the great League of Legends cosplays. He's really
yeah.
good.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
That's all it is.
He's just known for being great.
Really good.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Like, I think he's just doing the cosplays because he thinks he could do really well at it, because he's trying to challenge himself to do something, you know, like to the top of his game. And that's so cool. Like,
I'm so jealous of someone who has that much skill at, you know, League of Legends and cosplay. That's,
I know.
What does his schedule look like, you know?
I think, for what it's worth, props should also go, I think it's his girlfriend who's like a makeup artist, a cosplay, who helps him with it. But either way, like, what an achievement. Like, the pictures themselves are incredible, and he keeps upping the stakes each oh, yeah. time.
Nicola, you just made Amazing. Me feel so much better to hear that his girlfriend helps with the makeup, because I'm sitting here as a gender fluid person going, wow, that makeup is way better than anything I could ever do. That's not okay. I've been practicing for years.
We can all pick up a few tips, that's for sure. Yeah. I know I have.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. We're sitting down with Nicola Pigott, co-founder of The Story Mob. And listen, I got to ask, what's the next big thing that's happening at Story Mob? What's in the future for you
that
guys?
You can tell us?
Yes, that you can share with us.
Okay, so let's see. We've like sort of more corporate-y stuff. We've expanded a fair bit. We're now at 12 people in LA and in Europe, which is awesome. Working on some really fun stuff. Some stuff I can't tell you, but some stuff. We are working with the Premier League in the UK on the second season of their EPL.
You just got Norris's interest big time. Dude,
like, as a Brit, like, this is such a dream for me. It's so,
so
cool
great.
To see, you know, esports players coming in jerseys and Arsenal jerseys, and it's amazing. We last season we got to go to some of the playoffs at the club HQs, and my British heart just burst with delight. So that's coming up. As I mentioned, the teams we're working with are just on an incredible roll at the moment. I genuinely think Team Liquid have and G2 too have a really good chance to see each other in the final for Worlds this year, which, you know, a year ago, 5 years ago, was unheard of for two Western teams at Worlds. So I'm super, super excited to be there in Paris and cheer them on. And lots and lots of secret stuff that we can't talk about, unfortunately.
Nicola Pigott, the co-founder of The Story Mob, has been our guest here on Checkpoint XP. Nicola, thank you so much for your time today.
Of course. Thanks for having me, guys. It was fun.
Thanks again to Nicola for her time. For full interviews, make sure you visit our website over at checkpointxp.com. Thanks for joining us for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a wide collection of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern, live at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Lead segment producer by Joe Sloan. Brand management by Chad Callahan. And of course, my co-hosts who pull double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP Daily, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's A Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.